Broadcasting from the center of the universe, his universe. He's 90% bourbon and 10% man. It's the Ricky Worley Show. Here's your host, Ricky Worley.
All right, it's lucky number 11, Paige. Can you believe it?
I can't believe it.
Our 11th show. And first things first, we've got a little order of business to get to. We last week, of course, had Alex Larman on the show and gave away a copy of his book, The Crown in Crisis, The Countdown to Abdication. And Tina Marie won a copy of that book on Instagram.
Congratulations, yeah. Tina Marie.
So that's going to be shipped out to you soon. But I'm excited. We've got another author on the book. Really, okay, she's a best-selling author, an international speaker. She's my personal guru. And most recently, she penned a book about my life called How to Leave an Asshole.
Loved, loved, loved the book. Great advice. Can't wait to talk to Anne about it.
It is a good book. Anne Sharpstein is joining us. Hello, Anne. How are you?
Hey, so nice to be here.
We're happy to have you. Now, Anne and I have a history. God, how long does it go back?
Oh, my gosh. Over 10 years.
Yeah. Gosh, was I in high school still?
I think you were fresh. I think you were, yeah, you were just out of high school.
Yeah, we did all kinds of radio stuff. We had all kinds of celebrities on. We started 20 businesses. I mean, we were all over the place.
I bet you were so cute back then.
Oh, Ricky was adorable. He was so adorable. Yeah, we've done a lot together.
We have. Grief.
We've had all sorts of shenanigans on air and... Yeah, it's so fun to think about all this stuff. So, and the photos I found. Oh my gosh.
Oh yeah, I think I'm gonna have to share that one. I have a picture of Anne laying on my car like a sexy like model. Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to tweet that one out.
Goodness.
And did you do your version of Paris Hilton?
Oh my gosh, with the burger,
the black bikini.
Mm-hmm. I think that was before that came out, but no.
This is a little more PG than that.
Definitely more PG. In fact, you're so lucky that I didn't dent your hood. I mean, really, what was I thinking?
That's what that was.
I think it was the day you got that car, right?
Was it?
Oh my gosh.
I think so, because it was kind of a big deal in your life.
Look at that. I got a nice new car and I got bitches laying on the hood right away.
I think that's what
you
said.
That's how you roll, Ricky.
Well, I got to fix a drink. I'm not drinking. I know, Paige, you're ahead of us, and you're drinking something.
Yep, I've got some wine. I do have to say that this is the first interview where the show prep notes, like, encouraged me to have a drink.
Oh, yeah.
So it was like that's the first.
Yeah, we send out our little pre-interview. Make sure you have a drink. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to keep up with us.
I know.
Drink responsibly don't drive.
I just saw, I guess, a headline or something, but the pandemic, apparently, because COVID, has resulted in the best booze sales in 40 years.
I'm sure. We should have started a liquor store.
I was just talking to my dad today. I was like, Cynthia and I have saved so much money during COVID just because there's nothing to go do.
Very true.
Like, all we're doing is Netflix and boozing and...
How is it that I've been spending for all three of us, though?
What are you buying? Well, that's another thing. We are buying a lot of crap online.
Yeah, yes. My Amazon basket. Once I learned that you could put things for later, save for later, I have a whole bunch of stuff.
I've never bought a gift for my UPS guy, but I think this year I have to.
I think you should.
Yeah, between me and my neighbor, it's, you know, like watching a tennis match. Tomorrow, my day. The next day, her day.
Tomorrow? What are you talking about? I have it every day. There's something coming every day. You know something
I've scaled back.
Really random that I ordered that got delivered today. This just popped in my mind. I wasn't really going to tell this on myself, but I ordered 2 pounds of raw peanuts.
Are you going to make boiled peanuts?
I am.
Ricky?
I'm making boiled peanuts. I've never made them at home. And I looked it up. I was just like, oh, I love boiled peanuts, which Cynthia can't stand. She thinks they're gross.
I think they're gross, too.
Oh, it's like a bean. You don't eat beans?
Yeah, but
they're
mushy.
Beans.
Peanuts, boiled peanuts are mushy.
They're so
good. I just
good.
Like to suck on the shell because it's salty.
Oh, you just like the salt water.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got my crock pot recipe. Maybe I'll share it, my boiled peanuts. If it's good, I haven't tried it yet. So they're cooking. But yeah, I had 2 pounds of raw peanuts. delivered today from Amazon. So what's the weirdest thing you've ever ordered? I'm sure there's some pretty weird stuff. I got to think. I need to flip through my history.
I have an answer to that.
Okay.
So I bought this thing. I don't even know why I bought it. It just seemed like a good idea about 11 o'clock at night when I was in bed.
Always.
Surfing around. And it's this thing that holds your phone. You put it in this device and then you stick it in your mouth and you hold it with your mouth so you can actually like film or, you know, like video with both hands. So like if you're videoing you typing on a keyboard or making a cup of coffee, you know, it's, but anyway, and I still haven't used it, but seem like I need it. Of course I need one of those.
I feel like that would cause dental problems.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid.
So, you know, this weekend is the Super Bowl.
On the 7th.
7th? Yes. I thought it was 6th. So, I don't know. You know, I don't watch sports, but I felt like we should talk about it. It's kind of a big deal.
I know who's going to win.
It's going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
It is going to be the Buccaneers.
Yes.
No, because today Pisgah Pete did his predictions, and he has an 83% success rate in predicting who will win the Super Bowl, and he says that the Chiefs are going
to
win.
All right, so you have to explain to our listeners what Pisgah Pete is. I know, being from Brevard, but...
Okay, so every Groundhog Day, the whole world, well, maybe not the whole world.
The whole world looks to Brevard.
Well, the whole world celebrates Groundhog Day, right? But we celebrate White Squirrel Day. And so, and here in Brevard, we have our little mascot, Pisgah Pete, and he comes out and he makes a prediction on whether we're going to have 6 more weeks of winter, which, by the way, we are, according to him.
It's cold today in Florida.
But he's not a one-trick pony like Punxsutawney Phil. So he also, he does the Super Bowl predictions. So he said today that Kansas City is going to win.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I don't know. I think, should we three bet on this?
See, I think he's wrong.
I think he's wrong.
Well, Pisgah Pete is really, really old right now. So he's blind. So I don't know.
Can't see the messages coming on the breeze.
You would think him being old, though, he would go with a fellow old guy, Tom Brady, and go with Tampa Bay, no?
Well, wait a minute. Didn't he play for the Patriots before?
He did. Yeah.
So one year when it was the Patriots and the Rams, he picked the Rams, which was wrong. That was the one time he got it wrong. And then he went over to the Patriots sign and he peed on it. So I think he has a thing.
So he doesn't like the Patriots or Tom Brady?
I don't think he likes Tom Brady now.
Yeah, because now he didn't pick him this year.
Right. Now I understand why that just didn't sound right.
Well, I don't care about the game, truthfully, but we figured out, we didn't know who the halftime show was going to be.
We didn't.
But I figured it out. There is a halftime show, and it's The Weeknd.
The Weeknd what?
That's the band, The Weeknd. You know The Weeknd?
He's
the one that everybody is like pissed because they say he got snubbed for the Grammys this year. He had like one of the biggest songs of the year and then wasn't nominated for a Grammy.
I'm not familiar with his music.
I think if you heard it, you would. Like Blinding Light, I think. I'm drawing a blank right now. But so anyway, he's doing the Super Bowl. They're saying that he's spending $7 million of his own money to make this halftime show like beyond amazing.
Oh, so he bought his way into the Super Bowl. He wasn't actually selected?
Well, it sounds like what you said last week, everybody's bought their way into the Super Bowl. Did you hear about this, Anne?
No.
The tickets are like at least $12,000.
Oh, I did hear that.
And obviously, they can't let that many people. So he's spending $7 million for this show. Obviously, if he's smart, he's building it for TV because nobody's going to be there to see it in person.
Nope. You know, we could start a GoFundMe campaign so you could get in there.
What the hell would I do in the Super Bowl?
You could be a good halftime show.
Well, speaking of the Super Bowl, we're going to play a game. I came up with a Super Bowl game, and it's called Know Your Super. This is the way the game goes. You can buzz in just with a all of the answers have the word super in them. So, for example, Mary Poppins sung about this super.
Califragilisticexpialidocious.
Exactly.
And I didn't go
You didn't go but that's an example. So
I think Paige is going to win.
Our super game.
No, but I'll forget to do the
Instantly disqualified if you don't
Yeah. You should have told me to start drinking the wine like 10 minutes into the show.
Well, then towards the end, when we start talking about your book, it's just going to be a whole shit show. So,
okay.
All right, here we go. First question of what's the game called? Know Your Super.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right. This band had hits like
Supertramp.
Oh, wait, who buzzed first?
I don't know.
I think it was Anne.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding. Oh, wait.
Oh, I'm going to go ding, ding, ding then. And no, you've got Anne. Oh. I've got ding, ding, ding.
Wait, okay. I have a ding, ding right here.
Oh.
How convenient. Wow. I had that right next to me.
Well, then, okay, so now I need another sound.
You would have think ding, I would have planned that. All right, here we go. Next one. One who has the executive oversight and is in charge. Yeah.
Superintendent?
Yes, the superintendent. Oh. Next one. Batman, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman are all examples of... Yes,
superheroes.
Babe. Superheroes. Anne, where are you? Okay. What are you doing?
I'm here. I'm poised with my little ding ding.
Your wine's catching up to you.
Yeah.
All right. Never walking under a ladder or breaking a mirror can be one...
Yeah. Superstitions.
Ooh. Yes, the superstition is correct.
Woohoo!
Christopher Reeve played this superhero.
Superman.
I'm not keeping track of the score. It's like...
you're not?
Well, then.
I forgot to... I keep forgetting. What was that Whose Line Is It Anyway? Remember where everything's made up and the points don't matter?
You remember that?
That's my kind of game.
Drew Carey used to host it. It had like Colin Mockery, Wayne Brady was on it. It was all like an improv show. And he would be like, a million points to you. So like the points didn't matter. So that's kind of like this game. All right. A retail store selling food and household merchandise. Yes.
Supermarket?
What was that noise? It sounded like you were clearing
it. She got a peanut stuck in her throat.
I stepped on the squirrel.
And our last one.
Oh, I got to get it.
A ghost or a spirit is an example of this experience.
Supernatural.
Yes.
Well done, Anne.
Yay.
So a little later in the show, and we are going to talk about your book, How to Leave an Asshole. Awesome book. But obviously people don't just fall in love with an asshole. Most of the time, you know, you don't know the person is an asshole. When you first meet them or you date them, it usually comes out a little later. And clearly there's something that you're attracted to.
True. I mean, there are three things to know about assholes. Number one, assholes start
always
out...
Always keep them clean. My mother taught me that.
Tick the box.
No, number one, they always start out as like loving, wonderful people.
Right. You're head
very
over heels.
Very charming.
Very, very charming, you know, and in the romantic setting, you know, they love bomb you. But number two, assholes always change. So that always lasts, you know, for a while. It could last, you know, a couple years, but then they end up changing. And number three, what you need to know about assholes is you have to get away from them because it just goes downhill from there. So, I mean, your best defense against assholes is to be able to spot them.
And just avoid it altogether.
Yes.
But like I was saying, you don't know that person's an asshole and you're attracted to them. For some people, it's a smile, the eyes. Maybe if it's a woman, the big old booty.
I don't know. I think women have intuition. Do men have intuition too, Ricky? I don't know.
I'm not going to give us that much credit, no.
See, I've always felt like it's a subconscious thing, the signals that we're putting out that we are empaths. And for some reason, the asshole always picks up on that. And is instantly attracted because he knows he can
manipulate,
exploit it, use it to his advantage for as long as he possibly can.
According to Dr. Richard Proctor, what you notice first about a person reveals a lot about your personality. So I'm going to ask you two, we're going to start with our guest of honor, do a little Dr. Phil here and do a little relationship therapy. I'm going to start with Anne. Physically, what is it that you notice about a guy? First thing.
His size, like how big he is.
His size.
But wait a minute. Wait a minute.
Wait, how are you meeting these guys?
Wow, Anne, that's quite personal.
Where's my pause button? No, like size. You meaning shoulders.
Very clear. You said that.
Not that size, but the size of tall, wide, you know.
All right, so we're going to chalk that up to body.
Yes.
We'll put it under that category. So what that says about you, according to Dr. Richard Proctor, is that you are vigorous and physical. Sounds right. You're active, outgoing, sensuous, and full of vitality. You're a doer, not a dreamer.
Oh.
I feel like I just read your horoscope.
Yeah. Okay.
What about you, Paige? What do you notice first?
I like a great butt.
A butt. Oh, that would be the same
The body.
Thing. Yeah, body.
Yeah.
So you're going to be the same thing. You remember we were talking about a few shows back. I went on a date with this girl and her hands freaked me out.
Yeah.
Like, I saw her hands and I was like, no, I can't hold
man
those.
Man hands?
They were just like kind of stubby and I don't know, but it was not good. Not that that's the first thing I notice, but when they're off, obviously you're going to notice it. But if you do notice hands, if that's your thing, you are down to earth, practical, self-sufficient, and career-minded. You admire people who can grapple with a problem and solve it.
That's a fair assessment of you, Ricky.
You think I'm down to earth, practical? Yeah, maybe. I don't know what I notice first. I would say smile, though. I mean, I feel like...
Yeah.
And it's really hard right now in the world of COVID with all these masks. You can't see people. I mean, like, they look nice. You're like, oh, look at their eyes. And then they take off their thing and they got buck teeth. And you're like, oh, no.
Well, you already have your dream woman, so.
Yeah, no, I empathize with these people that are trying to date right now.
Yeah, it's not the dating.
Not the best time.
Yeah, definitely not the best time.
But if I were dating and teeth were the first thing that I recognized, it would mean that I am organized, interested in quality, you have an eye on the future, you take pains to conserve what you have and build on it. But clearly all you women care about is size.
Or at least Anne.
We're going to take a quick break. Paige has the news. I know that you got a lot of news to get to this week, like every week. So take a quick break. Be right back. Stick around. Here on the Ricky Worley Show, got a special guest joining us, Ann Sharpstein, the author of How to Leave an Asshole. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, and we're actually going to give away a copy of the book, so stick around. You don't want to miss that. But before we get to that, Paige Locksley has got the news.
So, Ann, how much do you like a firefighter calendar?
I wouldn't turn it down. Yeah.
Do they still make those?
Every girl loves one of those. Yeah, especially if they're holding a puppy or something.
Oh, yeah. Or a kitty cat or some kind of furry animal. Doesn't matter what it is. Yeah. Well, so much for Paramedic of the Year in Polk County, Florida.
Of course, Florida.
You know how our peeps are in Florida. Well, Florida police say that a paramedic in Polk County helped steal doses of COVID vaccine meant for first responders a week before he was named Paramedic of the Year. Joshua Cullen, 31, of Polk County, Florida Fire and Rescue, was in charge of administering 30 doses of the Moderna vaccine to the county's firefighters on January 6th, not long before the local groups honored him for his response to a highway crash. He initially claimed the three doses had been discarded. However, later it was revealed that he falsified vaccine screening and consent forms to make it appear as though the doses were actually administered. He allegedly wrote down names of former firefighters and two fake names, which resembled those of other firefighters. During the investigation, it came out that Collins' supervisor, a firefighter captain, Anthony Dominano, asked him to steal the doses for his mother.
Oh, so his boss told him to take them?
Yeah. Had he admitted that his boss tried to get him to steal the doses, he would have been okay. He wouldn't be facing felony charges. But the boss apparently threatened to turn him in for stealing the doses. So he was kind of in a catch-22 there.
Yeah. Oh,
if dear. You will. Sad thing all the way around. Both of them are going to be facing felony charges.
Yeah, that's not so sad. I don't feel bad for them at all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't feel bad. I mean, I understand being intimidated by a supervisor and all of that. But, you know, it's a shame. Both their careers are down the tubes. And his boss administered one dose to his mother. The other two doses were found.
Jeez.
I know. It's we're all going to end up getting vaccinated. So why steal it? Why get ahead of the game?
Yeah. Sounds like his boss was an asshole to ask him to do that.
I know.
Right. I wonder what his boss's wife would say about that.
He's probably not married.
I don't know, Anne. I think we need to make a road trip.
To Polk County.
Where is Polk County?
Where is it? It's always on cops or something. Yeah, it's always... Yeah. What was that?
About 30 minutes from you, Ricky.
Yeah, it's outside of Orlando.
Yeah.
It's like going towards Tampa, is that right? Like that direction?
Yeah, between where you're at and Lakeland.
What was the one? Not Cops is the old show, the other one, Live PD. It was on Live PD all the time, Polk County. So, yeah, a lot of good going on down there.
So, China has begun using a new COVID test for those it considers to be at high risk.
I've got some friends that are volunteering for this one. They're excited
about it. Oh, I bet you do, Ricky. Well... They say that it's a more accurate test. It can increase the detection rate of infected people. So what's the downside? Two words. Anal swab.
Ew.
That depends on who you ask.
Well, it depends on how big the swab is, I'm presuming. But, yep, it seems that traces of the virus can linger longer in the anus than in the respiratory tract, thus making it a better option. For some of us.
Having drive-through COVID testing would be problematic.
Just hang your ass out the window.
You know, it's like mooning on a Saturday night.
I mean, we used to do that in the school bus all the time. When we drive by, like, the rival team, you just hang your ass out the bus. So you could do it.
Well, we're going to just let China do what China does best.
Well, I saw a story regarding this today that apparently there's a video going around of these like Chinese people all bundled up. I guess it's cold in this part of China, and they're like waddling like penguins, and they're saying it's because they had the anal swab.
No, it's not.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to find the video, but the Chinese government is not happy about that. They're calling it, among other things, fake news. And they're saying that if you share or post that video in China, you'll be prosecuted because...
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, because they don't want people to think that the anal swab is uncomfortable or dangerous.
Yeah, I...
I can't imagine people are signing up to... Yeah, excited to go get tested.
You do you, China. Meanwhile, in Las Vegas, Laughlin, Nevada, they arrested a really dumb panty raider. Did you guys hear this story?
No.
No.
Okay. Have you ever... Since we were going to play that game anyway.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a panty raid, Ricky?
A panty raid? Like where you steal someone's panties?
Yes.
No, I mean, I think that's gross. I don't, that's, some people are into that and, you know, good for them, but that's not, you know.
Well, in college, it used to be the thing back in the day.
Oh, like a joke.
Yeah, it was one of those rites of passage if you were being considered for a fraternity.
I know my mom did that. I'm just going to out her right now. She did that at a Christian like summer camp where she snuck into the boys' cabin and they took all the boys' boxers and threw them in the swamp. She's from Florida, so yeah.
All right, she's my hero. I love it.
That was her shining moment.
I love your mom.
Well, apparently, officers identified 20-year-old Trevor Savak, who allegedly stole the underwear of several female guests at the hotel. He left a note in lieu of the panties and said, "Text me if you want your panties back." One of the girls contacted Savak, who initially denied stealing the underwear. He then told the girl that he would return the underwear if he received photos of her private parts.
Oh.
Sick, sick, sick.
Asshole.
Yeah. Run for the hills. The victim notified the hotel security, who was able to identify Savak on the video surveillance. The security officer also matched the phone number on the note to Sovak's employee record. Now, how stupid do you have to be to leave your phone number? Anyway, so he's going to be prosecuted, booked into the Clark County Detention Facility.
I wonder if he could bring his panties with him.
I think he's going to get beat up.
Oh, dear.
Maybe he could ration him off for some commissary items.
Hey, you know, there you go.
I mean, for me, the ever-capitalist here.
Yeah. Nobody's going to seek him out to commit the ultimate bank robbery or anything like that.
No.
So, what's going on in social media news?
I don't know. They just keep banning people. I haven't been banned yet, thank God.
Yep. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg has announced that social media giant will no longer recommend civic and political groups to its users, and they're considering steps to reduce the amount of political content that users see in their news feed. So he's censoring.
How's that for timing? But
yeah exactly. But
exactly.
I'm all for it, though. That's why I spend more of my time on Instagram, because it's less of that. You know, it's just pictures and puppies and people's breakfast.
Well, right. And I have really eliminated faith. Well, you know, my social media is in a...
Yeah, you're killing it with your social.
Yeah. I just don't go on Facebook anymore because I did. I really got tired of all the
politics and
bullying.
It'll be a safe space for you soon, and you can go back on Facebook.
You know, I think I'm done with it. I think I'm gonna develop a new social media platform, and I'm just gonna call it Fakebook.
Fakebook.
That's or my wrinkled Facebook for older generation.
Oh. Where you can't Photoshop your pictures.
Right. So what's up with, and I know, I think, Ricky, you have sent me some of these texts. What's up with people posting videos of their crimes that they're committing?
Yeah.
This guy is going 212 miles an hour down the road. Gabriel, I'm going to mispronounce his name, Slayman.
Sure.
He filmed himself doing 213 miles an hour on I-465 in Indianapolis. He posted the video on YouTube, Facebook, etc. Well, now he's facing charges. How stupid do you have to be?
That is pretty stupid.
I feel like almost every crime or every wrong that you've done, you can get away with if you'll just shut the fuck up or don't post it. Because it's like they do it and they're proud of it and they've got to tell somebody. And that's when it comes out. Or they post it on social media. You out yourself.
Well, that's how they're catching all the people from the Capitol building incident.
Right. They all posted the videos and the pictures. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. If I murdered somebody, I'm not going to go around being like, oh, yeah, she's gone. I had something to do with that. Like,
they do. So one time, this was probably, I don't know, 25 years ago, my vehicle was stolen. Long story short, and it had new tires on it. So it's like, okay, I think the person who stole it took it for the new tires. And we were in the car and we saw the person driving my car. And so we started chasing them. And then that person got away. And then the next morning, the car was returned to the front of the house, had more gas in it than before.
Oh, that's nice.
So anyway, long story short, this newspaper guy who had a column where he kind of wrote funny, interesting little stories and anecdotes, he did a column about this car theft. And then the stupid car theft guy, car thief, saw it and was saying, hey, that's about me. and then he got, he was arrested.
He's like, they didn't even use my picture, man.
So nice. They're not the brightest, the brightest people.
Yet my mom, speaking of my mom again, she always swore that like she would be the best criminal. Like she thinks, because she watched like all of Dexter and all that, she thinks she can get away with the perfect crime.
Dexter's my favorite.
I couldn't get into it. I tried. Yeah.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
You never saw the Dexter? It was on, what was it? It was like HBO or Showtime, one of those.
Showtime.
Because it could be gory, you know, they could show all the guts.
He was a vigilante serial killer who worked for Miami-Dade PD as a he was in the evidence room for...
Oh, yeah, like he would identify blood splatters or something.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And
I got you with the HEMA. I'm really good with my, what do you call those? Like the before the word? Come on.
Prefix?
Yeah.
Prefixes?
It's like, come on, Anne, you're the author here. Yeah.
Yeah, it was actually a well-done show, but he would only target those criminals
bad
who were targeting other people.
Oh.
Turns out, in entertainment news, I am going to have something better to do in the near future.
What's coming up?
Coming up is Kristen Stewart as Princess Diana.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
She looks amazing.
Yeah, the pictures are kind of, like, eerily similar.
Spot on.
Yeah.
I love Princess Diana. That
I do,
so
too.
Sad.
Ugh.
Do you watch The Crown? And?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They did a good job with her this season.
Yeah, they did. She, who was the actress that played her?
I don't know who she is, but the other one that I think deserves an Emmy is the one that played Thatcher.
Yes.
Oh,
yes. That is Andrea Gillian.
Yeah, she's from Chicago.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she was formerly the X-Files opposite...
Duchovny, right?
Duchovny, yeah.
Yeah, one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, she did an amazing job with Thatcher. Apparently, Kristen Stewart will be doing an amazing job as Diana. Everything you ever want to know about the Spencer movie, which is a dive inside the imaginings of Diana during a pivotal moment of her life. Stewart says that June 2020, news broke that she would be playing Princess Diana in the new biopic, Spencer. We're only getting a few tidbits because the Neon Films is being a little hush-hush about this, but essentially it profiles when Diana decided to leave Prince Charles during a Christmas holiday.
I hate when they tease stuff this far out.
It's coming out fall 2021.
Oh, okay. I thought it was 2022. No, I'm so confused with all the 2020s. 22. We'll go
2020 vision.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually have halted production because of COVID, so they're taking their time in filming it, but they will plan to release it in fall of 2021.
Okay, that's not too bad.
It's not bad.
But I hate when they tease it like years out, and I'm like Avatar. Avatar 2. How long? They've been working on that movie.
Gosh.
For what, like 20 years now?
Yeah. I can't wait till it comes out, though, because I love all the CG in that movie.
And it's going to be amazing, but they've been talking about it for how freaking long?
They do make you wait so long. Like, I want the next season of The Crown already.
Oh,
like, give it to me.
Yeah.
And yeah, I heard it's going to be way far off. And Stranger Things, that's who knows when that. Did you guys watch Stranger Things?
Cynthia likes that. I haven't watched that one.
What is that about? I haven't seen it.
It's a bunch of kids. I don't know.
Yeah, it's a bunch of kids. But the funny thing is like they're all going to be grown now. So you can't even really do, you know, the next season. It's really weird. Oh, it's about space aliens and such. It's not really my thing, but somehow I got watching it and it's actually kind of good.
Well, that says something about us, though, with our instant gratification. We want it now. Give us the season now.
Yeah.
Well, I know people who, you know, for me, I binge watch a season. But I know people who ration it out over months.
Yeah, I like to spread it out.
I can't.
How can you do that?
I don't want it to be done, and then I got to wait a year. So I'm like, I'll watch one this week, one the next week. That drives Cynthia crazy, too. She wants the whole episode out now, or the whole season out now. So she can't stand, like, Apple TV, and I think Disney does that, too, like with Mandalorian and stuff. She's into that. And they bring it, like, once a week, one episode. She hates it.
Yeah.
So, like... Ricky, if you have like a bag of Pepperidge Farm Milanos in front of you, do you like ration those out or do you just go for it?
Yeah, no. Well, okay. So there's a few things that I'll like totally devour. One of them is Gardetto's. I love Gardetto's. But yeah, Milano cookies, no. That would last me like a month.
Oh my God.
Now, bourbon, however.
Episode 2, can I get another bottle, please?
Yeah, I think we need to put this in context here.
Well, in context, Britney Spears is in the news again. Now, Ricky, we talked about her a few episodes ago, right? Where she was trying to get the conservatorship that her father has, right?
Right, right.
Well, she's in court, and her attorney is talking on her behalf. So that they can get a court order to dissolve the conservatorship that her father has over her, her finances, and her career.
The whole situation is really bizarre because if you look at her Instagram, it's just weird. I don't know if you've watched her Instagram or looked at the video.
It's odd.
There's this whole Free Britney movement that people think she's like being held captive. And like they said, like she did something with her eyebrows that spelled 911. Like she's asking for help. It's really, really bizarre. And another weird thing about the Britney Spears thing, I don't know if we've talked about this on the show, but she doesn't even look like herself anymore. She's got like this gap between her teeth that she never had before. And so people are speculating that it's like a body double. It's not even her.
I'm not sure, but, you know, at any rate, she has this 75-minute film coming out called Framing Britney Spears, and it begins streaming on Hulu on February 5th.
Ooh, I'll watch it.
I'll watch it.
Yeah. I'll watch it. Why not?
Did she, she was behind this, producing it?
I don't know that she was producing it, but she's definitely a part of it.
Okay. Yeah, I still haven't watched the Tiger Woods thing. I want to watch that one, too.
Oh, I want to see that, too.
I just saw something on the Tiger Woods thing. But, yeah, I mean, you know, Britney, it's going to profile her career from childhood through the Mickey Mouse Club years and through her overdose period up until now. So hopefully she will find some kind of catharsis out of it.
Adding that to my feed now.
So Cardi B, she's whapped out about how much she has to pay for COVID vaccines. So she wants to work. She needs a crew to work. She needs the film crew. She needs the dancers. She needs, you know, everybody in the background and behind the scenes in order to produce her videos and music, so on and so forth. Well, she apparently has to pay $1,000 per COVID test, and they have to get tested per the union. They have to get tested several times a week. So it's costing her, for her personal tests, about $1,000 for four tests per week. So she's probably paying
free
for the crew.
I thought they were free too.
I thought there was like a government thing. I mean, she getting like a Gucci COVID test? What? I don't understand.
Well, right. And that's what a lot of people are, you know, kind of chastising her for. It's like, wait a minute. Why are you paying when you can get them for free? And so, you know, she says, well, everybody has to get tested. So they're not for free because...
what, they can't get in line like
maybe
everybody else?
Maybe you can get the Chinese ones cheaper.
Yeah, maybe the anal swabs.
My goodness. You know what? Maybe we should suggest that to Cardi B. I got her on speed dial.
Yeah, let's reach out to her, her camp.
Yeah, slide into her DM.
Just bend over, Cardi. It's only $1.
That's not her first time.
But she's mad that people are been out of shape because she's complaining about spending money to work.
Yeah, I feel so bad
for
her.
Yeah, cost of doing business.
Yeah.
And that's all I have in the news today, Ricky and Ann.
All right, there it is, the news. Stick around, we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to talk about the asshole. Ann Sharpstein, our guest, joining us today. She's got a book out, How to Leave an Asshole, and we're going to chat about it right after this. We've got a special guest with us, hanging out all show, Ann Sharpstein, a good friend of mine. She is an excellent author, and she's got a new book out called How to Leave an Asshole. Now, Ann, I know you have known you for a long time, and I know a little bit about this book, but for the listener, explain how you came to writing this book.
Well, I was inspired.
Yeah. So, I know the asshole.
After meeting an asshole, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I mean, a lot of us have fallen in love with an asshole at some point along our life, right?
Unknowingly.
And I did too. So I fell in love with an asshole and didn't think he was an asshole. And, you know, now, of course, I came out of the situation healed and ended up writing the book, you know, about my journey to healing. So it's a book really about how to identify toxic relationships and, you know, and heal, come out of it whole and healthy again. And, you know, assholes or narcissists can be very, very abusive. So if you don't get away from that situation, it's just going to go downhill. So anyway, it's really a book about healing.
I feel like it's a book that not just somebody is like, I'm in a relationship with an asshole, he beats me, whatever. I feel like people that maybe are even unhappy in their relationship can read this book and be like, oh, I identify with that.
Yeah. Well, you know, and there are two stages of being involved with an asshole. There's the time, you know, the early part where things are still good and people, you may see red flags and you don't want to believe that they're red flags, you know, or people may warn you about the person, but you don't want to believe it.
You don't want to hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. So this book is really, really for someone who already knows, wow, I am, you know, in deep with an asshole and what I do, you know, what should I do?
You mentioned in the book that a lot of the times people, like, innocently, I think, harmlessly ask, why don't you just leave? Why do you keep going back? You know, and to people on the outside, that makes sense, Anne, you know?
Yeah.
We're seeing the craziness that's happening within that person's life and their relationship. So you just say, you're like, what the fuck are you thinking? Like, why don't you leave?
Yeah.
But that can be detrimental.
That, you know, my mom asked me the same thing once she realized, you know, that what was going on behind the scenes. Because also another thing that happens in these relationships is they isolate you from your friends and your family. And so your friends and family don't really know what's going on. So when my mom and my dad finally realized, you know, what was happening, my mom said what everyone else says, you know, why didn't you just leave? And there's a thing called trauma bonding, where the asshole, the abuser, you know, will be really, I always called it, he'd be good. He'd be good for a long period of time and then he would be bad.
And he relapses.
Yeah. And so you just kind of hold on to those good times and you just want that person back. And you think it's your fault if you just try a little bit harder and you're responsible for not letting it happen again, and which isn't true. And so that's what keeps you, you know, stuck in the relationship, because you hold out hope.
Well, and it's a form of Stockholm as well.
Absolutely. You know, I would have been the same kind of person who said, you know, why doesn't she leave? Or, you know, if it's really abuse, you know, it can't really be abuse because she's, you know, staying there. So it's
right. If he hit her, she'd leave. Or if he talked crap to her, she'd leave.
Right.
You think.
Right. So it's I understand this situation that women and men, to be honest, you know, I know of a lot of men who are in this situation too. And it's hard to understand. But the book actually is designed to guide the person who's going through it. And then also there's a chapter in there for friends and family.
Yeah, I love that.
What to do and what not to do to help your person.
Yeah, because you don't know. I mean, if you've not been through this, I mean, when I read the book, it was eye-opening, because I have a friend that's been through this, going through this, and it's almost like a song on repeat. She leaves him, she comes back. She leaves him, she comes back. And she, every time she leaves him, she comes to us, her friends, and she's so proud, right? I'm done, I'm leaving. And then a few weeks later, we're back to square one. And so, and that was frustrating for me as a friend to see that happen again and again and again. So to read this book, and especially the friends and family chapter, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I understand it.
Yeah, it's so hard. But, you know, it takes the average, I don't know, victim. I hate to use the word victim, but it takes about 7 times for them to try to leave. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tried to leave. I left, you know, a couple times, and then he would cry. You know, and then I thought, oh my gosh, you know, grown man crying, it's going to be okay.
You speak to that of being an empath, where you empathize with that. You see the emotion, you're like, oh God, you know, maybe.
Yeah, knowing if you're an empath, that's the type of person who really gets sucked into this kind of relationship.
They exploit that.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suggest to people if they're in deep with an asshole? You know, you got a boyfriend. We talked about that. I had to actually explain what this term was to Paige. If you're with a boyfriend, right, should be pretty easy to get away, right? You can just ghost him, disappear, be like, you know. But what if you're married to this guy or you live with this person?
Wow. I mean, that's where it gets really tricky. You know, it's very scary to leave, because that's when you're in the most danger for being hurt, because that's when they realize they lose control and then it just, you know, everything blows up.
Very volatile for the abused.
It's like they lash out.
Oh, yeah. Very much so. So, yeah, it's a very scary time. And, you know, that's the time when your person, you know, who's in that relationship needs the most support. You know, just being there and just knowing. And that's why I just really hope that the book helps some people. And I deal with a lot of people who are in the middle of all this and they're trying to leave, and it's just, it's not pretty, you know. But on the other side of all that, it is pretty, you know, and it can be healthy and you can be happy and you can be free. You know, I'll never forget the first night when I was away from the asshole and I felt this freedom. Like I can walk around and I can watch TV. I can do whatever I want to do and I'm free.
You don't have to worry about the refrigerator and putting the groceries in right.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. You tell this story in the book.
I identified with this, by the way, Anne.
Oh, really? Well, yeah, okay. Wait a second.
Cynthia probably identifies with this because I'm a little neurotic. I'm like, no, this goes here. This goes here.
Oh, asshole. Yeah.
This is why I've not let her read the book. I've hidden it away.
That's funny. No, so, I mean, the red flags. Yes, I definitely saw red flags, you know, early on in my relationship, and I didn't really realize that they were red flags. And then there were silly little things too that, for instance, like you all read in the book, you know, he would get really upset the way I put groceries in the refrigerator. And I just thought it was so strange. And, you know, I cook with a lot of butter. Like I buy real butter all the time.
Oh yeah.
And he would be so mad. He'd swing open the refrigerator door and the butter would come flying out and hit him in the head. And I used to, you know, just make me smile. Like behind it, if he ever knew that I was smiling because I thought that was funny, you know, it would not have been well received. But I don't know. I mean, I'm the typical woman who just walked into that relationship and ignored all the red flags. And if someone had told me, you know, ooh, that's a red flag, you know, I don't even know if I would have.
Yeah, would you have listened? Would you have heard it?
Probably not, because I was, you know, being love bombed in a huge way.
And yeah, you refer to that word a lot, love bomb. Explain that.
Okay, so a lot of what they do is when this type of abuser decides that they want you, and they do identify you and they go after you to secure you, and they do this thing called love bombing. They listen very closely to things that you say, and then they feed back what they think you want to hear. They shower you with gifts and trips and, you know, all sorts of, you know, amazing things. And you think that you are the luckiest girl in the world. And that's, you know, that's the best part of the whole horrible scenario. I had a lot of fun, traveled the world, had a blast during the love bombing stage, but I didn't realize that I was being, you know, sucked in.
Yeah. You were being groomed, in essence.
Yes, that is the perfect word.
Well, what I love about this, I mean, this show is a funny show. I mean, we cut up and that's all we do. But I like to have you on because we can talk about this and we can normalize this. Because you hear words, I feel like they're triggering words, like domestic violence, domestic abuse, emotional abuse. And you're like, oh, yeah, you know, you kind of put it off and you think of, oh, yeah, that woman that's getting beat.
Right.
I think it's important to have these conversations, and I like to be able to do it in a format like this where we can laugh and cut up, but it's a serious issue. And so I think that's why it's really important for people to read this book and why I really wanted to have you on the show.
Oh, well, thanks. Because, you know, just getting the word out and you're right. You know, ultimately though, you know, getting over it, that's the objective. And that's the part that just makes me so excited. And what I'm passionate about is helping women and men, you know, get through this horrible thing that has happened to you and you use it for something amazing and reset your life and move on. And it doesn't have to be the end of the world. And, you know, and speaking of the seriousness of it, 26% of all victims in this type of scenario, they contemplate suicide. You know, to be honest with you guys, I was one of them. I mean, it was that bad. I just wanted everything to stop and I couldn't take it anymore. But there's hope beyond all that. And, you know, life can be good and fun again. And
I can only imagine in times like these, it's even worse. I mean, it's harder to get away from your asshole, right? You're locked up right now during COVID. It's got to be terrible.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I've heard that the instances of abuse are definitely on the rise because of COVID, which is really a shame.
Well, one of the things that I really liked in the book, from cover to cover, I really loved the book. You gave some great advice. You did it in such an inspirational way, an informative way. You made it a safe place for your readers. But one of the things that I really appreciated about the book was that you said there's a light at the end of the tunnel. On the other side of it, you become a winner. And you're able, the person who's being abused can literally reinvent themselves to whatever they want once they get themselves out of that situation. And it to me, it was just an inspiring moment in the book when you kind of talked a little bit about that.
Oh, well, I'm glad because it's true. You know, you can come through anything and, you know, and be happier on the other side. And, you know, it's not to say that I'm still healing, you know, in some respects.
We're all a work in progress all the time.
We are. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's very exciting to watch people get stronger physically, spiritually, emotionally, you know, and all those ways, and just go on and do great things. You know, and the question that I'm asked so much is they still love the asshole. You know, they hope for some sort of apology, you know, or a reunion or something like that. But if you follow the book and you do all these things, you're really not going to care if you never get that apology.
Yeah.
Because you're going to be so strong and happy in yourself that it won't really matter.
Well, there's a lot of great advice in the book, even if you're not dealing with a narcissistic asshole, but just you even touch on daily habits and self-care and just indulgence of just taking care of yourself. So a lot of great tips of taking care of, number one, yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So the book is How to Leave an Asshole. It's available on Amazon and anywhere books are sold. And check out Ann online, your social media at Ann Sharpstein, your website annsharpstein.com. And we are going to give away a copy of the book to a lucky listener who needs a little advice, a little self-love. So just text the word asshole. Text the word asshole.
I'm kind of liking butter bomb.
Love bomb.
Butter bomb.
The butter bomb in the face.
Oh, perfect.
All right, we'll take asshole butter bomb or love bomb at 702-483-7582.
Paige, I love that.
It's 702-483-7582.
I totally have this picture of a 6'2" guy
getting hit in the face with a block of butter.
Going to the refrigerator, yanking on that door so it almost comes off the hinges and butter flies out in his face. I just love it.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, I still laugh about that.
Check it out, How to Leave an Asshole. Before we go, we're going to play a quick game. Since I got you all here, we're going to do Never Have I Ever. Fun game. You just got to say you did it or didn't do it.
Ooh, I've never played this.
We're going to start out pretty PG, and then, you know, it's the Ricky Worley show, so it's gonna move on. Yeah, go ahead and top off your drink. Go ahead.
Hold on a minute.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Number one, never have I ever played hooky from school or work. Can anybody say that?
I did from work.
Yeah.
I did from school and work.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I think I did too.
Both.
Both.
I can't either. That's I think everybody has, right? Right?
Yeah.
If you haven't, you're probably a sociopath.
Or an asshole.
Or an asshole. Number two, never have I ever rode a motorcycle.
Never have.
No?
I have.
I have not. Never rode a motorcycle. Number three, never have I ever spied on my neighbors.
Never have.
Never.
Really? I do it all the time.
That's creepy.
That's karma. No.
I love it. You never know what's going on over there. No, but one time there was like fire trucks and like all that stuff. So I was totally like peeking through my blinds. I'm so nosy. But I get that from my mom and my Aunt Beth. So it's genetic.
You're Mr. Kravitz then.
Mr. Kravitz? Who's that?
Yeah.
Is that from Dexter?
Peeking over the fence.
Who's that? Mr. Kravitz? Is that Home Improvement?
No, it's from Bewitched.
I thought it was the guy, Home
Improvement
guy.
No, Mr. and Mrs. Kravitz.
What's the Home Improvement guy? You never saw his face, remember?
You never saw below his nose.
Yeah.
So I remember that guy. But anyway, I'm dating myself. Move on.
But at least the guy from Home Improvement, he wasn't nosy. He was a nice guy next door.
Right.
All right, number four. Never have I ever stalked an ex-boyfriend or girlfriend on social media.
Nope. I take the fifth.
No, I never have.
You've never stalked an ex?
No, because they're not on. The guys that I have dated are not on social media.
Oh, and that's a red flag, right?
I forgot she dated Larry King.
No, I did date. This was post asshole. I did date this guy who he actually is on social media. He used to date what's her name, Karen Carpenter. So he's like older
from the Carpenters.
Yeah.
Chipmunk love.
But, well, yeah, when I didn't want to see him anymore. I never went and stalked it, you know. His...
Afterwards.
Actually, I think he's still on there. Yeah, I think he's still a friend, but no.
Number five, never have I ever watched Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Never have.
Does it count if I only, like, watched one episode?
You've watched it.
You've watched it.
You've watched it.
You're either pregnant or you're not pregnant.
Okay. Yeah, well, the only show I ever watched, and then I couldn't stand it, was when she was chasing her husband wanted, you know, backdoor action, and she was chasing him around with the, you know, toy and
strap
said, okay, you first. And he said, okay.
Anyway, number six, never have I ever played strip poker.
Never have. Why am I the only one answering the questions?
Oh, I'm waiting on Paige. I feel like she has to debate with herself for a little while.
Yeah.
Like she's flipping through that Rolodex in her mind. Like, did I do that?
I don't have to debate on this one.
Is that a yes?
You have.
Maybe.
I don't even know how to play poker, so I can't strip and play poker.
Well, I don't know how to play poker either, so I guess I just stripped.
Apparently, poker is not the important part of strip poker. Number seven, never have I ever had a friend with benefits.
Never have. Paige! I'm going to go on the 10-second delay from now on.
Guilty.
Yeah, I have.
Whoa!
I've had one of those. But it wasn't like we had a contract or anything. It was just
okay,
like...
Okay, but I'm 55 years old, so, you know, I was married once.
I was not even going to say you were married when you had your friends with benefits.
Well, I'm not telling.
All right.
I would like a friend with benefits, but I don't have one.
Yeah, it's no strings attached.
Yeah,
it has its purpose.
I was just going to say, at this stage in our lives, I mean, we don't need the complication of any...
Assholes.
Assholes.
Right.
Well, they say, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free?
Right. Don't buy the cow.
Exactly.
Leave it on the shelf in the store.
Number eight, never have I ever had to cover up a hickey.
Never have.
And we got to get you out of the house more.
I forget. Yeah. I'm as pure as the driven snow.
Oh, yeah, right.
Guilty.
I don't think I've had a hickey. I don't feel like I ever had to hide it, though.
Well, I've had a hickey. I guess I never covered it up with makeup, just clothing.
Yeah.
It was kind of a source of pride.
No one ever did that to me.
You've never even had a hickey?
No. I did cupping one time in a spa. Does
it's
count?
The same thing. Yeah, okay. You had a hickey.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, where's my bell? Ding,
okay,
ding, ding.
Rewind.
Number nine, never have I ever gone skinny dipping.
Never have.
It's like a tale of two cities over here.
Well, I've just lived a full life.
I've never been skinny dipping in a pool, but in a hot tub, yes. So does that count? A hot tub?
No.
No.
Lake,
that
ocean, pool, hot tub.
No, I'm scared in a lake or ocean.
River.
That thing will look like like bait.
Fish bait.
Yeah, no way. I've seen river monsters. No, thank you. Number 10, never have I ever sent nudes.
Nope, never have.
What?
Paige is quiet.
She's
again.
Very quiet. I think her connection dropped out on purpose.
Hello, hello, hello. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello.
We're not falling for it, Paige.
I take the fifth.
I thought that was just flirting nowadays, no?
God. I am such a hoe.
Well, we're going to find you that Valentine's date finally.
Yeah. I won't
Paige
have any
is
problems.
Easy. Oh, let's call her.
All right. So number 11, this can be unintentional, but never have I ever had a one night stand.
Nope.
So, never just a one time, never saw him again or nothing. Paige Loxley is crawling back into her hole.
We have some mysterious audio interference again.
Was that the Andy Griffith Show? All right, so that's going to be a yes for Paige. That's right, Paige, I'm with you on most of these, actually.
There was the honeymoon, you know.
Oh, that was a one-night stand?
Yes.
How can that be a one? How is that a one night stand?
I trapped him. No. No, I'm teasing.
And our last one, never have I ever joined the Mile High Club.
No.
Was that both a no from both of you?
Yep, I never have.
Never have, never will. Disgusting.
Well, I didn't expect that answer from both of you. I'm just going to say.
I feel like, why do I find that disgusting and none of the other questions disgusting?
Well, no, it could have been private plane.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought about it one time. But you can't, like on a commercial flight, you can't do that. And anyway, who
disgusting.
Wants to? It's
yeah,
all it's, icky, gross.
Yeah, it's gross. It's gross.
Plus, it's illegal. Who wants to spend a night in jail?
Is it illegal, though?
It is.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It is absolutely,
I mean, what if
illegal?
You go in like, oh, I need to help my wife. She's got an issue in the bathroom. You lock it and you do a little whoop-de-woo.
It is illegal.
Didn't know that. All right, that's our show. Make sure everybody check out How to Leave an Asshole, Amazon, anywhere you get books. Check out AnnSharpstein.com and on social media. And check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Ricky Worley Show. And it's been a pleasure having you on the show. I don't think this is going to be the last time we have you on.
You guys are great, and I love listening to you both. I've listened to every episode.
We appreciate you coming on. We love the book. I know you're working on something else, probably not ready to talk about it, but we're ready for you to deliver whatever you're working on next.
Oh, thanks.
And yeah, we're definitely going to have you back on.
It'll keep me out of trouble.
Sounds like we need to get Paige out of trouble.
Yeah, true.
Or maybe we need to get Anne in trouble.
Exactly. That's right. Keep her hanging out with us.
Nobody dates. Nobody wants to date me now that I'm right about them.
All right. Well, as we say every week on the show, everybody, cheers.
Ginger.